On Pentecost, Peter preached that great sermon. And when he got to that point in his message talking of Jesus' crucifixion, he said to the multitudes that were gathered there that Jesus was handed over to them by God's purpose and foreknowledge. Have you ever considered this? That before God ever created the universe, before God ever created our first parents, Adam and Eve, he already knew that they would rebel against him. God already knew the judgment that he would place upon sin, and it would be death, not just physical death, but eternal condemnation in hell, being cut off from God for eternity, a very harsh judgment. And God knew the plan that he would carry through to save those and us whom he created. Consider that kind of love. You think, wouldn't it be much easier, God, if you would have just not created us in the first place? But what a revealing of how much God desires a relationship with us human beings. And God went through with it, knowing the cost, knowing that he can't change his mind. God doesn't change his mind. When God places judgment upon sin, it stands. God doesn't say, oh, gee, that was too bad. I'll water this down a little bit. No, God is firm in his judgment. And he knew that in order to deliver us from this, that he would step into his own judgment, that he would become man, that he would place himself in our position in order to deliver us. Adam and Eve were created. They rebelled against God. God had warned them, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will surely die. They ate of it. And death, that judgment now was firmly in place. But what does God do? Immediately, he promises to them the seed of the woman, doesn't he? The very first gospel promise. And then as time goes on, the prophet Isaiah gives very clear prophecy of this one who has been promised. And Isaiah writes under the inspiration of God, all of us have gone astray. We are like sheep who have gone astray. But the Lord has laid the iniquity on his own son. Wow. Imagine that kind of love. And then Jesus comes in the flesh as God had planned by God's timing. And remember Jesus in the Good Shepherd chapter, John chapter 10? Jesus clearly states, no one takes my life from me. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Jesus making it very clear that no one could take his life, that he was always in charge, and that he chose that time when he would die. And we know Jesus' words from the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus chose the moment. And it wasn't in weakness because it says that he cried out in a loud voice. Throughout this journey, God remained perfectly faithful to his promise. Have you ever thought of that from Jesus in his pre-incarnate state? Prior to coming in the flesh and walking on the face of the earth, Jesus from eternity past, knowing every detail of this day, knowing every detail of the trial that he would go through and the mockery and the suffering and the death. But God remained faithful. Why? Because he loves you and me. The question, I believe, for us tonight is our own heart. We know God's truth. And wherever our heart is doesn't change what God has already accomplished. This day is a historical day, and it can never be undone or changed. But the question is, with what kind of heart do you come here in the sanctuary this evening? You know, I think of one of Jesus' stories that he tells in Scripture about, remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? They both come into the temple to pray. And it looks very honorable. It looks very religious, if you will. As here you have these two gentlemen in the sanctuary, in the temple, visually it looks very good. They've come to pray. But then Jesus reveals the heart. And the Pharisee comes into the temple, right? And he's just gloating about himself, praying about himself and saying, God, I just thank you that I'm not like those evildoers and those robbers and those adulterers or like that tax collector over there. Gloating. God, you know, guess what? I fast twice a week. And God, I give you 10% of everything that I take in. And then there's the tax collector. And he's on his knees. He has his head bowed down to the floor. He can't even look up to heaven. And he prays, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Which heart? And I ask myself the same question. Which heart do you come with this evening? God makes it very clear the seriousness of sin. For all have sinned and all fall short, right, of the glory of God. And in that we hear the good news with reference to Jesus. God made him to become sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Think about that. You and I have confessed many times. We have stated this word from God's word. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Which heart do you come with in worshiping God tonight? Do you see yourself as a pitiful sinner in need of God's mercy? Or as you look at the cross, do you think, well, I have a few things, God, that I can contribute? We like to build those resumes sometimes, don't we? You know, and boy, if we start writing out all the wonderful things that we feel like that we've done in accordance with God's law, and you know, we can stand at the cross of Jesus and we can say, look at this, Jesus, I've helped out here. Look at my life. Look at the great things that I've done. But then God reminds us of James. Remember where James informs us? God does through him. And even if this were possible, that we just sinned one time, just one little tiny time, what does God say? We are guilty of breaking all of the law. We're no worse than the worst of sinners as the Pharisee would perceive them in the temple. And you know, to hold this up to Jesus hanging on that cross, our personal resume of what we can contribute is like turning our nose up to Christ. Because if we could actually do that, why would he need to come in the first place? The Lord takes our personal resumes and he rips them up. It's worthless to him. It's not going to get us anywhere with Him. But it's only through Jesus. You know, if there was somebody maybe that could say that they contributed a lot, that they had something to bring to the table, it's somebody like the great Apostle Paul, right? Boy, Saul is a Jew, is a Pharisee, and Saul even gives us an outline of his resume, doesn't he? Talk about a missionary by God's grace when God called him into the faith, and we look at what that God did through that man. Oh my goodness. Talk about a resume that Paul could write. But what does Paul confess? Jesus came to die for sinners, of whom I am the worst. Where are our hearts tonight, really? Do we really understand and appreciate what God has done? How about the criminals on either side of Jesus? Remember, they were both railing on Jesus in the beginning. When you put all the gospel accounts together, you find this. And they're saying to Jesus, if you are the Christ, save yourself. And save us, by the way, too. But then as time went on, when the one criminal saw the word of life hanging on the cross, he came to faith. Here's a guy that's there. He's done really bad things, and he even confesses, we deserve to die, but this innocent man doesn't deserve to die or even be on this cross. We're getting what we deserve. But then he looks to Jesus and says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And what does Jesus say? Does he say, well, you haven't done anything for me all your life. I mean, look at your life. It's a mess. It's horrible. You really think I'm going to save you? No, that's not the heart of our Lord. But he says, today you will be with me in paradise. That's pretty humbling, isn't it? Not me, but thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered beyond what we can ever fully understand. He, the living Lord, who died in the flesh on that cross, did it out of love for us and out of necessity for us. There is no other way. In His precious name, amen.